punishment through the clemency of fortune or of the examiner. In my dreams of college examination, I am regularly examined in history, a subject which I passed brilliantly at the time, but only, I must admit, because my good-natured professor, my one-eyed benefactor in another dream, did not overlook the fact that on the list of questions I had crossed out the second of three questions as an indication that he should not insist on it. One of my patients, who withdrew before the final college examinations and made them up later, but who failed in the officer's examination and did not become an officer, tells me that he dreams about the former examination often enough, but never about the latter. The above-mentioned colleague, Dr. Stekel of Vienna, calls attention to the double meaning of the word matura, matura, examination for college degree, mature, ripe, and claims that he has observed that examination dreams occur very frequently when a sexual test is set for the following day, in which, therefore, the disgrace which is feared might consist in the manifestation of slight potency. A German colleague takes exception to this, as it appears, justly, on the ground that this examination is denominated in Germany the Abiturium, and hence lacks this double meaning. On account of their similar affective impression, dreams of missing a train deserve to be placed next to examination dreams. Their explanation also justifies this relationship. They are consolation dreams directed against another feeling of fear perceived in the dream, the fear of dying. To depart is one of the most frequent and one of the most easily reached symbols of death. The dream thus says consolingly, "Compose yourself, you are not going to die, to depart," just as the examination dream calms us by saying, "Fear not, nothing will happen to you even this time." The difficulty in understanding both kinds of dreams is due to the fact that the feeling of anxiety is directly connected with the expression of consolation. Stekel treats fully the symbolisms of death in his recently published book Die Sprache des Traums. The meaning of the dreams of dental irritation, which I have had to analyze often enough with my patients, escaped me for a long time because, much to my astonishment, resistances that were altogether too great obstructed their interpretation. At last, overwhelming evidence convinced me that, in the case of men, nothing else than cravings for masturbation from the time of puberty furnishes the motive power for these dreams. I shall analyze two such dreams, one of which is likewise a dream of flight. The two dreams are of the same person, a young man with a strong homosexuality, which, however, has been repressed in life. He is witnessing a performance of Fidelio from the parquet of the opera house. He is sitting next to L, whose personality is congenial to him, and whose friendship he would like to have. He suddenly flies diagonally clear across the parquet. He then puts his hand in his mouth and draws out two of his teeth. He himself describes the flight by saying it was as if he were thrown into the air. As it was a performance of Fidelio, he recalls the poet's words, "He who a charming wife acquired," but even the acquisition of a charming wife is not among the wishes of the dreamer. Two other verses would be more appropriate. "He who succeeds in the lucky, big throw, a friend of a friend to be." The dream thus contains the lucky, big throw, which is not, however, a wish fulfillment only. It also conceals the painful reflection that in his striving after friendship he has often had the misfortune to be thrown down, and the fear lest this fate may be repeated in the case of the young man next whom he has enjoyed the performance of Fidelio. This is now followed by a confession which quite puts this refined dreamer to shame, to the effect that once, after such a rejection on the part of a friend, out of burning desire, he merged into sexual excitement and masturbated twice in succession. The other dream is as follows. Two professors of the university who are known to him are treating him in my stead. One of them does something with his penis. He fears an operation. The other one thrusts an iron bar at his mouth so that he loses two teeth. He is bound with four silken cloths. The sexual significance of this dream can hardly be doubted. The silken cloths are equivalent to an identification with a homosexual of his acquaintance. The dreamer, who has never achieved coition, but who has never actually sought sexual intercourse with men, conceives sexual intercourse after the model of the masturbation which he was once taught during the time of puberty. I believe that the frequent modifications of the typical dream of dental irritation, that, for example, of another person drawing the tooth from the dreamer's mouth, are made intelligible by means of the same explanation. It may, however, be difficult to see how dental irritation can come to have this significance. I may then call attention to a transference from below to above which occurs very frequently, This transference is at the service of sexual repression, and by means of it all kinds of sensations and intentions occurring in hysteria, which ought to be enacted in the genitals, can be realized upon less objectionable parts of the body. It is also a case of such transference when the genitals are replaced by the face in the symbolism of unconscious thought. This is assisted by the fact that the buttocks resemble the cheeks, and also by the usage of language which calls the nymphae lips, as resembling those that enclose the opening of the mouth. The nose is compared to the penis in numerous allusions, and in one place, as in the other, the presence of hair completes the resemblance. Only one part of the anatomy, the teeth, are beyond all possibility of being compared with anything, and it is just this coincidence of agreement and disagreement which makes the teeth suitable for representation under pressure of sexual repression. I do not wish to claim that the interpretation of the dream of dental irritation as a dream of masturbation, the justification of which I cannot doubt, has been freed of all obscurity. I carry the explanation as far as I am able, and must leave the rest unsolved. But I must also refer to another connection revealed by an idiomatic expression. In our country there is in use an indelicate designation for the act of masturbation, namely, to pull one out, or to pull one down. I am unable to say whence these colloquialisms originate and on what symbolisms they are based, but the teeth would well fit in with the first of the two. Dreams in which one is flying, or hovering, falling, swimming, or the like, belong to the second group of typical dreams. What do these dreams signify? A general statement on this point cannot be made. They signify something different in each case, as we shall hear. Only the sensational material which they contain always comes from the same source. It is necessary to conclude from the material obtained in psychoanalysis that these dreams repeat impressions from childhood. That is, they refer to the movement games which have such extraordinary attractions for the child. What uncle has never made a child fly by running across the room with it with arms outstretched, or has never played falling with it by rocking it on his knee and then suddenly stretching out his leg, or by lifting it up high and then pretending to withdraw support? At this the children shout with joy and demand more untiringly, especially if there is a little fright and dizziness attached to it. In after years they create a repetition of this in the dream, but in the dream they omit the hands which have held them, so that they now freely float and fall. The fondness of all small children for games like rocking and seesawing is well known, and if they see gymnastic tricks at the circus, their recollection of this rocking is refreshed. With some boys, the hysterical attack can